Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series called Detours. We're going to be looking at the life of Judah, kind of working our way toward Easter Sunday. And, you know, we mentioned Judah's kind of a unique character. You don't usually spend a lot of time on Judah. You find his story kind of mixed in with the story of Joseph at the end of the book of Genesis. Judah is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And, you know, Judah's life, frankly, is kind of a mess. In the end, there's some beautiful redemption and life change and just foreshadowings of the gospel of Christ. And you see really God's sovereignty on display, but everything preceding that is honestly pretty rough. Judah makes some really bad decisions and then makes even worse decisions. And it's partly why we're calling the series Detours, right? That the big idea is that God uses even our wrong turns to get us to the right places, that such is the sovereignty of God that he's able to take even our, you know, our mistakes, our sin. And ultimately, Romans 8:28, you know, Paul says that God works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And yeah, I said on Sunday, and I'll say again here, that does not, God's sovereignty does not absolve us of human responsibility. We should never choose sin because we're saying, hey, we think God's going to work it out in the end. But it is a wonderful comfort to know when we look at, you know, past sin or regret that, man, God is able to somehow work even through those things. Those mistakes don't derail his ultimate plan, and there are consequences to those decisions, but God is able to even work in and through those things for ultimate good. And so, you know, I talked about Judah's life, and just to give you sort of the recap, Judah was one of the brothers. If you know Joseph's story, his brothers throw him into a pit and they're going to kill him, but instead they decide to sell him into slavery. And he ends up going to Egypt, and then, you know, Pharaoh elevates Joseph to the second highest position in the kingdom, and it's through that that he actually ends up saving his family because a big famine hits. And so, you see how God was working this out the whole time. But Judah is actually the one who had the idea to sell Joseph into slavery. He tells his brothers, he's like, hey, you know, we're not going to profit anything if we kill him. Why don't we sell him, and we'll at least make money? He is our brother, after all. And he's the one who kind of leads that charge. And then, you know, he participates in the selling of his own brother, trafficking his brother, and then goes and, you know, participates in this giant lie to their father where they pretend that Joseph was killed by an animal. And then they keep that lie up, that charade up, for over 20 years. And I just kind of pointed out, you know, can you imagine the shame or guilt that Judah kind of carried with him? Like you're watching your father grieve and weep, and you're like holding a funeral for Joseph. Like I can only imagine sort of the deep shame and regret that he carried with him, especially when, you know, kind of humanly speaking, he's most responsible for Joseph being sold into slavery. It was his idea. And so I asked the question, you know, what do we do with the stain of sin? What do we do with, and particularly like the guilt and the shame of past sin or past mistakes? And I said, these are the kinds of things, right? What Judah has done here, these are the kind of things that drive people into dark places. You know, some people try to numb the pain of past sin or regret or shame because they're, you know, they run to narcotics or alcohol or, you know, sex or pleasure, whatever it is, just trying to numb the pain, some people rationalize it, you know, nobody's perfect, right? I mean, some people kind of justify it. Here's why I did what I did. But, you know, Romans 1 says that, you know, we know and we suppress the truth, right, by our unrighteousness, that we know. And so if we don't want to do those things, you know, what do we do with the stain of sin or past regret or shame? And so I just said, man, I think the gospel provides such a wonderful answer to that question. And I took us to Luke chapter 7, where, you know, the sinful woman walks in front of all the Pharisees, and she washes Jesus' feet, pours oil or perfume on his feet, and washes his feet with her tears and with her hair, and kisses his feet. And Jesus ends up telling her, right? You know, she has sort of cleaned Jesus' feet, but Jesus looks at her and says, "You're forgiven. Your faith has made you well." And he ends up telling the Pharisee, specifically the guy who invited him to dinner, Simon, he ends up telling Simon about how because she's been forgiven, those who've been forgiven much love much. Those who've been forgiven little or think they've been forgiven little love little. And it's just this wonderful picture of, look, what we do with our stain, with the stain of sin, is we bring it to the feet of Jesus and we let him wash us clean. As we receive him and all that he did for us, and that his life and his sacrificial death paid for our sin, all of it, right? My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And the wonderful result of it is that not only we take it to him and he washes us clean, but when we recognize how much we've been forgiven, when we have that, you know, deep regret from the past or shame from the past because of things that we've done, and when we are washed clean by Christ, we end up loving him all the more because we know this is where I was, but this is where I am now because of Jesus. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And not only that, but God even uses those past, right? He uses our past, and it really can become a platform for sort of trumpeting his grace. And I briefly told people the story of Chuck Colson, who Charles Colson was a part of President Nixon's sort of inner circle, and he was involved in the Watergate scandal, and people described him, right? He was not a Christian at the time, and he was described as the evil genius of an evil administration. And when the whole Watergate scandal went down, he got arrested, and he ended up going to prison. And right before he got arrested, someone gave him a copy of Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and he ended up giving his life to Christ. And in prison, he felt like God called him to start a ministry for prison reformation, right? To work for the kingdom of God in prison ministry. And so he started Prison Fellowship, which today, decades later, as far as I understand, it's the largest Christian prison reformation ministry in the world. And yeah, I mean, just look at that story and I think God used, I mean, this guy's serious mistakes that landed him in prison, and those mistakes and that past actually became a platform, right, for trumpeting not Charles himself, but trumpeting God's grace and just showing the goodness of who God is. And God can do the same. He does that in Judah's life. He can do the same in your life and in mine. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to encourage you just to take some time to reflect on that and to pray to the Lord for yourself. And then I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow and join us again on the LifePoint Drivecast. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you that you are a sovereign, good God, and that, Lord, you sent Jesus to live in our place and die in our place, and you raised him from the grave. And God, he paid our debt. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Help us to live in that reality. And for anyone, Father, who may be listening, who's never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, God, let them bring all of that stain of sin, all the shame, all the regret, all the hurt, and bring it to your feet and be washed clean by you, Jesus. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.